Yeah. Welcome to episode 78. Let us speak on the podcast, hosted by your boy T. Look. What up, though? You dig what I'm saying? Hey, man. Second round of the playoff football is underway. We here with it. We had two live games yesterday that was pretty good. Both of the number one seeds played yesterday after having 2 weeks off. A little rusty in the first and second quarter for both of those teams, but they were able to prevail in the second half. Both of the one seeds won yesterday. Lamar Action Jackson did his thing. That Ravens defense, tremendous, relentless, flying around the field, even without one of their best players. 49ers and Christian McCaffrey able to make plays. Defense was able to make timely plays. Linebacker Treadwell had two INTs, the game-winning INT and an INT in the third quarter off a tip pass. Great game by both teams. But we're gonna start off with what happened in Baltimore. We're gonna start off in Baltimore, man. Houston, you gotta understand, the first game of the season this year for the Ravens was against Houston in the same arena. CJ Stroud's first NFL start came against Baltimore. They scored no touchdowns in the first game. His offense scored no touchdowns. They had 9 points, 3 field goals. How many touchdowns do you think CJ Stroud offense scored this game, this playoff game? 0. So in 2 games this year, CJ Stroud and his offense, that was literally a completely different, offensive unit, team period, from week one all the way till second round of the playoffs. And they still scored 0 points on offense. That's greatness right there by the defense coordinator for the Ravens. That's greatness by the defense because Marlon Humphrey didn't even play. So that's one of your top corners, a playmaking corner that knows how to play well in big moments. He wasn't even out there. Kyle Hamilton didn't even have to make a lot of things happen. He dropped a pick yesterday, which he should have caught. Like, bro, once it got tipped and you tipped it up in the air, you got to catch that. I understand right off the tip pass and to get up on you quick, but once you tip it in the air right in front of you, you got to pick the ball up. Period. But let's talk about the offense, though. Obviously, the first half was pretty slow. It was a slow first half. Shit. Basically, you know, the Ravens couldn't get it going. They had that. Like I said, they ain't played in 3 weeks. Lamar didn't play last week of the season. He didn't play the bye week, and this was the first week he played. Zay Flowers didn't play the last game. Odell didn't play the last game. Kyle Hamilton didn't play the last game. There was plenty of guys that did not play that last game. So, and then just having a week off, you know, like, it's a little different. You got to get back into football mode, even though, you know, you got that bye week and you're ready to go and you may be 2 weeks fresher. They're still a team that you're playing that played a game last week, so they're coming in with some momentum. The first drive of the game, Houston. Houston got the ball 3 and out. So right off the bat, the Ravens showcased what they can do. They showcased how they was coming out 3 and out the first possession. Then the Ravens come back and drive the ball down, make some key third downs, make some plays on first and second down. And they get in field goal range, kick the field goal. It makes it 3-0. The next drive, Houston has a longer drive. They're able to complete some passes. Singletary had a couple good runs. He had some catches and runs. Nico Collins had some. But they end up stalling out, having to punt the ball. The next drive of the first quarter, the Ravens get the ball. They 3 and out. Then Houston get the ball back. They go on a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. They go on a 10-play drive, drive the ball down all the way down the field, kick the field goal, ties the game up 3-3. That's the first quarter. First quarter goes like that. And then second quarter, Baltimore come out. They drive the ball 50 yards, 5 minutes and score a touchdown. Lamar Jackson passes the ball to Nelson Aguilar on like a mesh route in the red zone, touchdown. So they able to drive the ball. That's when they offense kind of got clicking a little bit. We like, oh shit. That first quarter was slow because they've been off a while, but now they just came out in the first drive of the second quarter. They got their feet wet. They got how they want to play. They back in that game mode. Nah, we thought it was about to get ugly right then and there. Like I said, Lamar Jackson throws a touchdown to Nelson Aguilar. Then next thing you know, Houston gets the ball back. They go three and out immediately. So now I'm like, oh, man, the Ravens defense just balled out. The Ravens offense just came out, drove the ball down there, and then an immediate next possession, the Ravens defense come out there and get a three and out. And that's what you love to see right there. That is exactly what you love to see. So then the Ravens get the ball back. Five plays, they end up having to punt the ball. They punt the ball. Steven Sims runs the ball back, 67 yards. Great return, too. Great return. He made a play. He looked good. To me, he looked like Antonio Brown when he was back there. He was shifty. He hit a move on a kicker, I think. It was either kicker or something, the punter, whatever. He made a move on him, broke a tackle, and then extended his way to the end zone. That was a great play by him for sure as an individual returner and a great blocks by the punt return team as well. And they needed that. I mean, bro, special teams, you be able to score points on special teams, that's special. That's what's special about special teams. Like, they literally leads to points. If it's a PAT, a field goal, a kick return, punt return, you feel me, a muff snap that can be picked up or a fumble, you know, a punt return, he catches it and he fumbles the ball, it can be picked up and returned. It's special because shit can happen in the blink of. And you got to understand, too, mostly all the time, special team plays are the longest plays. They're longer than offense and defense. A special team play damn near can last around 10 seconds. Think about it. Kickoff, return, kickoff. You kick the ball off. From the time the ball kicked, it's probably going to be about 8 to 10 seconds off the clock. Punt return, probably about 8 to 10 seconds off the clock. Bro, a regular third down play or a first down play is probably going to last like 3 or 4 seconds. Max, really. Like, maybe five. But it's usually quicker plays. So, special teams are special right there for sure. So they punt the ball. So now it's 10-10 with 4 minutes left in the first half. And then immediately after they run the punt return back, Ravens get the ball back. And then they go a three and out. And it's like, damn. Three and out after you just got a punt return, took to the crib on you. What y'all going to do? It's literally like they're literally giving Houston a lot of – they're keeping Houston in the game. Now, Houston is playing really well right now. Their defense is playing really well. 48, I think his name is Christian Harris. He was making plays out there. He was spying Lamar. He was making plays on Lamar. Desmond King was making plays at the nickel position. They was blitzing him. They was literally blitzing Lamar every chance they got. Most of the time on second downs, they was blitzing him. They wasn't going to sit back and blitz him on third down or something. They was blitzing him on second down. They was going straight engage eight on him. And they end up having like three sacks in the first half. Predominantly in the like late first half. I think they got like 2 sacks in a row like towards the end of the game. But they was putting pressure on him, man. They was definitely putting pressure on him. So that was great right there. But then Houston got the ball back. Houston get the ball back going like a 9-play drive. And they end up missing the field goal. And then they basically go into halftime. Lamar get the ball back. That's when they got sacked twice. It goes into halftime. And now at the halftime, this when it got crazy. This is when Lamar went into the locker room, and just told everybody, all right, bro, we got all the jitters out. We back playing football. It's time to play. It's time to play Ravens football. It's time to play Ravens football. Like from top to bottom. From the quarterback all the way to special teams. All of them. Because they was kind of slow. They was kind of slow going into this game. They was kind of slow. You could tell they had a couple weeks off. They haven't played a game in a while. But when I tell you this second half was one of the most dominant halves of football we've seen, it was literally the most dominant halves of football we've seen. Lamar Jackson, right out of halftime. Let's see. Let's see. Lamar Jackson right out of halftime. Gets the ball. First off, Duvernay comes out of there. Returns the ball to the 45. They drive the ball down there. 40, 55 yards. Lamar Jackson runs a touchdown. Makes it 17-10 in 3 minutes. It only took them 3 minutes. Not even three minutes. Took them 2 minutes and 56 seconds to score a touchdown. Lamar made some passes. They made some runs. They did their thing. Then Houston got the ball after that. They had like a, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 play drive, right? 10 play drive. Third and 15, they end up punting the ball. Houston had a lot of pre-snap penalties as well. They had some false starts. They had like damn near 5 or 6 false starts. Their offensive line was jumping offside. They had some offsides on defense as well. They needed to tighten that up. Let me see how many penalties they had. They had 11 penalties to Baltimore 3. Like, you got to be able to win games. That's when you know they was a young team. They was one of them young teams. But they was smart, though. Like, they wasn't out of position, like, once the play started. Like I said, they had a lot of pre-snap penalties. They had 11 penalties. I think 7 or 8 of them was false starts. You feel me? So, but once the play started, they wasn't out of position. Like, D'Amico Ryans had them guys ready to play mentally and physically. And that's a good sign for that Houston team. Because, like I said, they wasn't that far off of making plays. They just needed to make those plays, and they couldn't make them because they were not the better team. That's what it was. But I like what he did with that team. In that second half, Lamar Liddy had 3 drives of – Lamar had one drive in the Ravens offense where it was they got the ball back. They got the ball at the 7-yard line on their own 7, right? They got the ball on their own 7-yard line. Twelve plays, 93-yard drive, touchdown. Lamar ended that with a sprint out pass. That was throwing the likely to tight end. He caught a touchdown over Stingley. Great throw, great catch, great way to extend his arms by Likely. Likely has been definitely making some plays from that tight end position a lot ever since Andrews got hurt. And having Andrews coming back this week, which he's probably going to come back, we shall see. Even if he's probably going to play, 20 plays? Probably not going to play a lot of plays, but understand, that is Lamar's favorite receiver. And they have this connection that they have a great connection. They have great chemistry with each other. Like, they see the field the same way. And if you ever watch from the first time Lamar started starting, he always found his tight end. And I tell you, like, a lot of quarterbacks, their favorite, their most reliable targets are their tight ends. Because your tight ends are always kind of like in a matchup. Like, they always create a matchup problem. Because sometimes a safety is not big enough to guard them and a linebacker are not fast enough to guard them. So they always, you know, confuse the defenses, put defenses in binds. You just have to focus on those guys a lot. And him coming back to this offense, it's not going to do anything but help this offense. So if he's come back and next week he plays 20, 25 plays, I think he touched the ball quite a few times. And that even opened it up more for guys like Odell Beckham, guys like Zay Flowers, guys like Bateman, Nelson Aguilar, Duvernay. That opens up the field more for those guys. Way more for those guys. Because now you have to pay attention to Andrews. He's gonna catch some passes next week. I'm telling you that right now. If he plays and he's in uniform, he's going to catch some passes this week. And he practiced a lot last week, so I think he's going to play this week. But you never know until the game day. So Lamar's offense literally had 3 drives of 10 plays, 70-plus drives, and 3 touchdowns. All of those resulted in 3 touchdowns. That's dominance. Lamar was 16 for 22, 152 yards passing, 2 passing touchdowns. He got sacked 3 times, but those all of those 3 times was in the first half. And 2 of them came with under like 30 seconds in the second half. And he also added on 11 carries for 100 yards and 2 touchdowns. He became the first quarterback to have 100 yards rushing and 100 yards passing and 2 rushing touchdowns and 2 passing touchdowns in a playoff game ever in NFL history. Ever. He's also has ran over 100 yards rushing for the third time in his career in a playoff game. In the rest of the playoff games in NFL history, I think they said it was like almost 1,200 playoff games. Only 4 quarterbacks have done that. It's only happened 4 other times, and he already have done it 3 times. I think he's gonna definitely break that record. He's gonna do that a couple more times. He's probably gonna do that at least 5 to 7 more times in his career. Rush for over 100 yards in the playoffs, because this is when you see his legs a lot. You got to understand, last year taught Lamar like, hey, I have to use my arm more early in the season. I have to use my arm early in the season. I have to be smart with my legs so my legs can be fresh and great on the back end of the season. I don't need to be running my legs tired for the first 10 weeks of the season, and now the back end I'm getting hurt, you know, I'm missing games. Like, that's the growth of Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson has had growth. Like, mentally, physically, all of it. All of it. And you just see him playing at a different level right now. This Raven offense, they controlled the clock. They had the ball for 38 minutes yesterday. 38. 352 total yards. 150 plus passing yards, 229 rushing yards, 22 first downs, and no turnovers. And they had 20 more plays than Houston did. They literally controlled every phase of this game. Like, think about it. If Houston don't return that punt return, the score is 34-3. That's pure domination. They offense or their defense didn't score. It's 34-3. The Ravens, that second half was pure domination. Pure domination. Justice Hill ran the ball well. 13 carries, 66 yards. Gus Edwards ran the ball. He had 4 yards to carry. 10 carries, 40 yards. And even I think he's kind of becoming an X factor. I like the 8 carries he got at the end of the game, you know. And I remember saying in the first quarter, in the second quarter, I was like, once the Ravens get up on this game, because I know they're going to get up on this game and they're going to create like a double-digit lead to where, okay, they're going to be running the ball, I will give Dalvin Cook those carries so he can know what this playoff shit feels like just this year. So he can get tackles on him. He can get his pads broken in. He can know how to run. He can know how to, you feel me? Like, ain't nothing like getting those reps. Like, remember, this is a comparison. This is a different analogy right here. But if you watch the Lakers and the Warriors last year in the playoffs, right? In game 2, Lonnie Walker, I mean, the Lakers they got blew out in game 2. Like, they was down. It was over already early in game 2. But Lonnie Walker came in at the end of game 2 and started shooting the ball well. Like, he was creating a shot. And I think he had scored like 10 points in the fourth quarter. Even though the game was over, the coaching staff liked the energy that he brought. They liked how he was playing at that point. So that gave him minutes, more minutes in game 3 and game 4 and game 5. You feel what I'm saying? It gave them more minutes. And what happened? Remember game 4, Lonnie Walker last year versus the Warriors, where they were down by, I think, like, but 7 points, and he came in and hit like 2 threes. He had like 14 points in the fourth quarter. So it's stuff like that. This could be the effect that Dalvin Cook brings to the Ravens, to where he had a nice little run yesterday. He had a 19-yard run. And one thing about Dalvin Cook is that he gets downhill. Like, he knows how to get north. He's not doing too much side-to-side dancing, any of that. He's running north. He knows how to run the ball. And he also knows that every time the ball is handed off, they have to worry about Lamar Jackson as well. So there's going to be eyes on Lamar Jackson as well, and that's going to maybe have that linebacker, you know, in the wrong hole, on the wrong shoulder. If you know football, you know what I'm saying. Maybe they're not going to be able to, you know, get over that shoulder like they is because they got to worry about Lamar pulling it. And now Dalvin is able to just crease him and go for 80 yards. He can still do that. So I'm definitely tuning into that. So I think he's going to be one of those guys that get the ball early next week. He's going to get the ball early in the first quarter, second quarter. We're going to see how he's going to adjust and, you know, attack the game. He's going to get some of those early quarter carries. I think he's earned it. I like Gus Edwards. I like Justice Hill. I like Justice Hill a lot. But Gus Edwards, I like Gus Edwards too, but I think all three of them can get carries. I think because, I mean, at the end of the day, they all had 31 carries all together. I think that can happen more. Cook had 8 carries, Gus had 10 carries, and Justice had 13 carries. So I think they can all get 10 carries. I think they can all probably get like 12 carries, and we can see how that goes, you know. Probably 35 to 38 carries between all of them. I think that'll be pretty good. So, and I think it'll take the offense more because, like I said, Dalvin Cook is a guy that can get north now. This is a guy that has ran for 1,000 yards damn near every year of his career. So he knows how to run the ball. He's not new to running the ball. He's not new to that at all. So that's going to be great. He was able to spread the ball to some of his receivers. Obviously, they didn't have a big receiving game, but so what? It don't matter. They made timely plays. Zay Flowers had 4 catches for 41 yards. Bateman had 3 catches for 34 yards. Likely had 2 catches for 34 yards. Odell, 1 for 12. Aguilar, 2 for 12. Justice, 2 for 11. Kohler, 1 for 4. Guys are touching the ball. They're safe with the ball. Lamar's not throwing wild passes. Like all of yesterday, he didn't throw any like passes that had you scratching your head. But you know who did? You know who definitely threw some passes that had you scratching your head? Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy threw some passes yesterday where it's just like, man, what the fuck is he doing? What is he doing? Lamar had none of those throws yesterday. There wasn't a throw that left his hand where it's just like, bro, what are you doing? That was almost picked. That should have been picked. It was none of those. Brock Purdy had about 4 of those yesterday. I would probably say even more. But 4 for sure that I can think of off the top of my head. But I'll talk about that game later. The defense, man. Defense went off. They didn't even have no sacks. But they pressured them. They pressured them. They was able to hit them. Now, they're going to get more sacks next week. I think they get more sacks next week, depending on who they play. But the defense played well. They did their job. They didn't give up no points to one of the best young quarterbacks in the league. That's what they did. Even when they sprung some big plays, you know, Nico Collins had a big catch on third down here. And I think it was like 3rd and 15 or something. He caught like a dig route behind the defense, catch and run for like 25, 30 yards. Singletary had some catch and runs. Dalton Schultz had some catches where he, you know, created some separation, made some catches. And it's like, oh, man, they driving the ball down the field. They creating some plays. But they didn't give up no touchdowns. Houston barely even seen the red zone. Barely. So even though they was able to, you know, make some plays down the field, a couple plays down the field, because C.J. Stroud only threw, he was 19 for 33, 175 yards. So they literally had, how many rushing yards they had? Singletary, 22 yards. Stroud, 9, 31. They had 38 rushing yards total. So they barely had over 200 yards of all of total yards. They had 213 yards total. You feel what I'm saying? With no sacks. So, and we've seen what this quarterback did the last couple weeks. We've watched him go into Cincinnati and win a game in Cincinnati, then come back the next week versus Tampa Bay and drive his team down the field with under a minute left and score a touchdown because they're down by 4 points. They had to score a touchdown to win the game. We've seen him do that. We've seen the throws that he can make and the clutches that he can make. We've seen it. So this is one of those great young quarterbacks that if he's able to keep his head down and continue to work and not, you know, get complacent with his play this year and continue to get better, because the league is going to adjust. I'm telling you, bro. That's the thing about the NFL. The NFL is going to adjust. They're going to get better. They're going to have better schemes. Because now they're going to walk into those games like, hey, we know how good CJ Stroud is. How can we limit him? What is his weaknesses? And they're going to try to exploit those more and more next year. And he's going to have to know what his weaknesses is as well and fix those and get better with those. And then continue to do the things that he do greater. So that's the thing about the NFL. It's like a boxing match, bro. Every round is different. You know, when Muhammad Ali and George Foreman was in the ring, every round was a different round. You feel me? When Mike Tyson and whoever was in the ring, every round was different. When Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather was in the ring, literally every round was different. You can't treat every round the same. You feel me? You gotta approach it all differently. So, the Ravens locked down on defense, man. The Ravens look good. They host the AFC Championship playoff game for the first time since 1971. They was called the Baltimore Colts at that time. So, as the Baltimore Ravens, this is the first time they do that. This is the first time an AFC Championship will come through M&T Bank Arena, Bank Stadium. Lamar Jackson, MVP, hands down. I don't want to hear it. 4 touchdowns, over 250 all-purpose yards, no INTs, no fumbles, 2 touchdowns on the ground, 2 touchdowns in the air. That's Lamar. But great win for the Ravens, man. Great season for Houston. They did their thing. I got a question about Houston at the end of this episode as well. I'm going to kind of jump into that later. But I love their future. I love their coaching staff. They're going to have to attack this offseason, though. They need to go out and get if they can go out and get one of those legitimate number one receivers, you know, if they can probably trade for Justin Jefferson or get an A.J. Brown or who knows, CeeDee Lamb might be available. Michael Pittman, they need to go out and, you know, stack that up, though. If they can stack that up, Houston might have a problem, for real. But, moving on from that game, man. Obviously, there was another game that happened in San Francisco last night between the Green Bay Packers and the San Francisco 49ers. A rainy game. It literally rained all day, rained all night. But that's football. That's what I love about football. You got to play in the elements. When you playing football as a young kid out in the neighborhood or at the neighborhood park or something like that, You ain't stopped playing because it started raining. Like, oh, it started raining. We in the middle of a game. We playing pick 'em up, mess 'em up. We playing teams. We playing jackpot. We ain't stopping because it's raining. When it's snowing outside, we put on big old coats, big pants, boots, and we would be outside in the snow playing football. It don't matter. Like, elements don't stop the game. It just make the game more interesting. So I hate when people on TV media were like, oh, if it wasn't raining, then he would have been able. Bro, it don't matter, bro. That's what it is, bro. That's what it is. The elements are a part of the game. I don't want to hear, oh, it was too cold. Bro, that is a part of the game. Period, part of the game. But obviously, the 49ers were able to win this game. Well, I ain't going to say obviously because, whew, for 57, 58 minutes, The Packers were winning this game. Like, they were winning this game for literally 58 minutes. For sure. With that missed field goal at the end, it kind of messed it up because if they would have made the field goal, they probably would have went into overtime. But it also would have put more pressure on Brock Purdy because he would have had to score. Even though he had to score anyway, you know. If it was 24-17 when he got the ball back, he would have had to score anyway. But 21-17, it's like, okay, now if I score a touchdown, we win the game. So it's like, ooh, we. I don't know which one more pressure it is, but hey, man, he was able to win that last possession. But prior to that possession, Brock Purdy was off. So for any of you Brock Purdy, and I think Brock Purdy is good, but it just be a lot of people that just be talking like he's just great. Like I seen big homie Richard Sherman. He had tweeted like, that was a great last drive for a system quarterback. I'm like, bro, he is a system quarterback at his finest. You know, this is second year starting all of that, and I understand, but we seen his limitations yesterday. We seen it a lot this year. He need a lot around him to happen for him to win. Like, Christian McCaffrey is his best friend. Best friend. He don't even throw the ball to Kittle like that no more. Like, Kittle showed up yesterday. Kittle had 4 catches for 81 yards and 1 touchdown. But this offense runs through Christian McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey, 17 carries, 98 yards, 2 touchdowns. He also has 7 catches for 30 yards. So, the 128 yards per purpose. I mean, purpose. 128 all-purpose yards. 24 touches. That offense runs through Christian McCaffrey. Like, even when he didn't catch the ball, he threw the ball to Christian McCaffrey 12 times. That is 7 more. That is 5 more times than he threw to anybody else. He threw to Kittle yesterday 7 times. And Christian McCaffrey 12 times. Like, Christian McCaffrey is his security blanket. Deebo Samuel actually, he went out in the second quarter. He tried to come back, but he wasn't able to come back. I think it was like a shoulder injury. He came out of halftime in street clothes, so he didn't play for the whole second half. But Jennings stepped up. He made some great catches over the middle for sure. He had 5 catches, 61 yards. He made some critical catches. But I would like to see Brandon Ayuk more involved. Brandon Ayuk was an all-pro receiver this year, a Pro Bowl receiver this year. Like, he has to go out and take the ball. You feel me? He has to go out and, like, I ain't going to say demand the ball, but he got to be like, bro, throw me that motherfucking ball. I'm a game changer. Like, I think I'm a number one wide receiver, right? I think, he's labeled as the number one wide receiver. If I'm not mistaken, he was second team All-Pro, and he was a Pro Bowl receiver. So he's really, you know, in that one receiver conversation. But he got to demand that. Like, when they down and the offense a little stagnant, he has to be the one to come through and make a play, especially with Deebo Samuel out. We don't know if Deebo Samuel is going to play this week. What if he don't? What if Deebo not playing this week? What is Brandon Ayuk going to do? I want to see that. I want to see him take that next step to like, okay, I'm about to take over this game no matter if we up or whatever. I'm about to literally take over this game. And Brock Purdy has to find him. But like I said, if you was watching this game, then you understood that Brock Purdy was throwing a lot of passes that was like, what is that? Savage dropped another pick six. He dropped the pick six in the first quarter of this game. It was like a dig route or a basic route. He was just backside safety, and Purdy just looked like he had a bad read and threw it right to him. But Savage dropped the ball. And, you know, you can't drop pick sixes in this type of game, bro. In this type of game, you can't do that. You have to make them pay when they throw it to you. Tips and overthrows, everything. And they throw it right to you. When you see something and you got a beat on it, you got to go and get it. This is not the time to be clapping your hands. My bad. This ain't the my bad moments. This ain't that. You can make money right there. Like, you can make money. And he dropped money right there. Savage dropped money. Because that could have led to a touchdown. And now you up, you feel me, maybe 17 to 3 early in the first half. And now you putting more pressure on Purdy. But like I said, man, Purdy didn't look that good to me. He was throwing a lot of passes that was damn near looking like he wanted to throw it to the other team. It was raining the whole game, but shit, both quarterbacks had to play in the rain. Both teams had to play in the rain. Both of them. That's the elements. It is what it is. Greenlaw balled out. On defense, Greenlaw balled out. He had 8 tackles, a TFL, 2 INTs, and 2 PBUs. He made some plays. You know, he the one that caught the tip pick. Jordan Love threw it like high and behind the tight end. It was like on the 3rd and 13. Like, it was just like a little check down. He threw it high though. Like, put it in his chest where he can just run it. Then you can punt the ball if he don't make it. But who knows? Shit, the motherfucker could have broke a tackle and made a first down, but you just threw it high and over the middle and behind the receiver. Like, that's not a good throw at all. And it tipped up and he picked it off. And then the last pick that he threw, rolling out all the way to the right and threw it all the way across his body. I don't know what he's saying. I don't know if he was trying to throw the dig route that was going across the field the other way. But you can't do that, bro. Just throw it out of bounds and just lead a fight another down and see if you can continue to go. But, you know, this is first year playing. That was like, that last play was like a microcosm of his season. You know, because early in the year, he was throwing like picks that was like mind-boggling as well. Like, bro, why did you throw that? Like, he was throwing some picks early in the year. I was like, bro, what? That's the decision you chose to make? You chose to throw that ball at that time? But you're going to live and you learn. I think he's going to definitely live and you learn. I think the Packers are in good hands. They're a very young team. The average of their team is 24. A lot of young wide receivers on the team. And a lot of those guys were rookies. If I'm not mistaken, Wilkes was a rookie. Jaden Reed was a rookie. Yeah, a lot of those guys are rookies. Wilkes, Jaden Reed, Melton, you know, Christian Watson is a young receiver. Dobbs is a young receiver. The two tight ends, Kraft and Musgrave, they are both young in their first and second year. They're going to have to, you know, continue to enhance their offensive line. They're going to have to sign Jordan Love back. Who knows if Aaron Jones come back, you know. I like where this team is going. I think Matt LaFleur showed this year that how he can develop, you know, Jordan Love in that offense. And he showed that he can coach, you know. He showed that he can coach. He definitely called a great game. I'm not going to say he didn't call a great game. Both playoff games, the one against the Cowboys and the one he lost yesterday. He has to find some type of way to beat Kyle Shanahan, though, because they both in the NFC, and they're going to be there. So he's going to have to find some type of way where he can beat him, for sure. And I think the better that team continue to get, the more they continue to grow with each other, continue to add, you know, players, playmakers around the edges, and just build that team, I think they will be just fine. But, yeah, man. The future of the Packers are bright. You know, they lost this game, which they should have won. You know, a lot of people can say, you know, the Packers won literally 50-plus minutes of this game. They just lost the last 3 minutes, and, you know, those 3 minutes are pretty pivotal. They left some points on the board. Obviously, there was the pick six that could have happened. Who knows if it would have went to the touchdown, but it would have been a turnover that stopped them, and it would have, you know, it would have caused Purdy to see the field. You know, it probably would have held him back a little bit, you know. I'm telling you, like, when some quarterbacks throw an interception or turn the ball over, it kind of that trigger that they used to pull in, they kind of start pulling back on it a little bit, you know, being hesitant with the throws that they made or make before. And that could have hurt you know, the 49ers offense. But he dropped the pick. He gave them another chance to get a first down. He gave him another chance to advance the ball. In moments like that, you got to make those plays. And Savage is a veteran, too. I think this is his 4th or 5th year. He's been in the league for quite some time now. And like I said, he just made a pick six last week. He just caught a pick six last week. You got to make those plays. Your team needs you to make those plays. They're paying you to make those plays. You have to make that play. Let's talk about Aaron Jones real quick. Aaron Jones had 18 carries, 108 yards, along with 3 catches for 8 yards. He made some big plays yesterday. That first drive, he came out and set the tone. He was running the ball like he was. Like, the first drive from the Cowboys game and the 49ers game, it literally looked identical, but one ended with a touchdown, one ended with a field goal. But they were able to drive the ball for the first 8-minute drive out the gate. That's what the Packers was able to do. They was able to get the ball and drive it 8 minutes out the gate. Have the ball for the first 8 minutes of the game and come out of there with points. That's greatness right there. That's great. And that sets the level. That sets the precedent on how we're going to come out and play. That sets the tempo. They set the tempo. At halftime, it was 6-7. And, you know, then the third quarter they came. The third quarter, it was 22 points scored in the third quarter. Packers scored 15 points, and the 49ers scored 7 points. But the thing about it is the Packers, they didn't score no points in the fourth quarter. And the 49ers scored 10. That's what happened. The Packers missed that field goal at the end of the game. He missed it like it was with the 23-yard line. So what that makes it, a 41-yard kick. He missed it. He missed the field goal. And that was bad. You know, he missed the field goal. It should have been a make. I think it was a rookie kicker. But you got to knock that field goal in. That's damn near was like a PAT. You got to knock that in and at least take your team up 7 points and give them a chance. Okay, if they do score, at least it goes to overtime. But you miss the kick, they drive the ball down there and score a touchdown. And let's just break down that last drive. Because Purdy did some okay things in that last drive. Let's just be real with that. He missed the field goal at 6 minutes and 21 seconds left in the fourth quarter. First play, Purdy throws the ball to Jennings, 7 yards. Second play is a run up the middle. Christian McCaffrey, 2 yards. It's 3rd-and-1. Purdy rushes for 2 yards, first down. Purdy pass for Christian McCaffrey for 5 yards. It's 2nd-and-5. Incomplete on 3rd down. I mean, incomplete on 2nd down. Now it's 3rd-and-5 at the San Francisco 47. Purdy throws a pass to Ayuk, 10 yards. That's first down. So that's a quality third down and 3rd-and-5 right there. They needed that 3rd-and-5 right there. They was on their own 45. I mean, they was on their own 47. They don't make that first down right there. Now they forced to make a tough 4th down, 4th-and-5 in their own territory. Because they're going to go for it unless they punt the ball and try to play the time clock game. Okay, we got 3 timeouts. We can get a stop. And, you know, hopefully we can stop them in 4-minute offense. You know, they have decisions to make right there, but they made the 1st down. So that kept the chains moving. Then that first play, Conley catches the pass, 17 yards, out route, like a 17-yard out route. He catches that. Now the ball is on the 26-yard line. Purdy to Kittle, 8 yards. They had the 23-yard line. Christian McCaffrey up the middle, 3 yards. Then it's a 2-minute warning. Purdy to McCaffrey, 0 yards. It's 2nd-and-10. Purdy scrambles for 6 yards. No, he scrambled for 9 yards. Now it's 3rd-and-1. 3rd-and-1 at the 6-yard line. They hand the ball off to McCaffrey. He scores a touchdown. Now it's 24-21, 1 minute left. 1 minute and 7 seconds left. And we know what happened in the last drive. But that was a great drive right there by Purdy. I'll say that. He completed some passes. That third and five was a big down. And who did he go to on that 3rd-and-5? He went to Brandon Ayuk for 10 yards. He's going to have to go to Brandon Ayuk because if Deebo Samuels don't play, you need Brandon Ayuk to make some plays. He's explosive. He can take a slant 60 yards. He can take a glance route 70 yards. He breaks tackle. He's tough to tackle. He just plays with that edge that the 49ers all play with. He's more of a get the ball in his hand right now, make a play after he catches the ball. He's one of those type of guys. So I would say, you know, decent drive to end the game by Purdy. But all before that, it was bad. All before that, he was throwing the ball. I felt like he was just throwing it up there somewhere, trying to figure it out. The pass rush for the Packers couldn't get home. Like, they got 1 sack, but it was a couple times they had him bottled up in the pocket and they couldn't sack him. Like, they couldn't sack him. You're going to have to sack him in order to play. You're going to have to sack him You got to get them on the ground. You got to blurry it up for them. You know, the Packers didn't have a great defense like that this year. So, and even not having a great defense like that, they were able to make it muddy for Purdy. They were able to, you know, stop him for real. But they finished the game. So, shout out to the 49ers for finishing the game. They won. They will play the winner of the Lions and the Buccaneers. Hopefully, we get a 49ers-Lions matchup because I think that matchup is – I think that's going to be the best matchup for the 49ers. Like, I think the Packers kind of exposed a little bit on how to beat the 49ers. And I think the Packers – I mean, I think the Lions have the formula to win this type of game. I think they have the formula to go in there, go into San Francisco and win. They're a physical team, a disciplined team. They got playmakers on offense, a lot of them, Montgomery, Gibbs, Amon St. Brown, Laporta, Reynolds. You know, who knows if Raymond comes back. They have guys. Jared Goff is playing. I think if you go into this game, Jared Goff is the better quarterback than Brock Purdy. So, and Jared Goff also has a history of playing against Shanahan's 49ers because he was in that same division just a couple years ago. So, he knows what it's like to play in that stadium. He knows what it's like to probably win in that stadium because in order for the Rams to win to the Super Bowl, they had to, I'm sure, beat the Ravens. I mean, the Ravens. I'm tripping. They had to beat the 49ers. So, I'm looking forward to that game. If that happens, we're going to have to see how it turns out today. But, man, great season for the Green Bay Packers, man. They overcame a lot early in this year. They didn't look like they was going to make the playoffs. They was in the first eight games, I think they was 2-6 or 3-5. And then they ended up winning like seven of the last nine games. Jordan Love on the back end of the season looked way better. He looked like a more experienced quarterback in the second half of the season than the first half. Obviously, he had 24 passing touchdowns. He had 21 passing touchdowns and one interception in the last eight games of the season. So that's great right there. His first two playoff games he played these last 2 weeks has been great. Like, you can definitely see the signs of a great quarterback. He just had to limit himself. He just had to polish himself up a little bit more. More experience, because he's not where he's going to be. He's going to still make some mistakes next year, but he got to make lesser mistakes. He can't make the same mistake twice next year. That's steps of progression. Like, when you're able to not, like, to stop making the same mistake twice, that's when you becoming a better player or a better person or a better teacher or a better coach, whatever. You feel what I'm saying? That's just what it is. I think the Packers are in great hands. And a great Saturday of football. A great Saturday of football. Greatness for sure. I pose this question as well. Who has the better future, though? The Houston Texans or the Green Bay Packers? That's something to think about, man, because they both have two young quarterbacks, two young coaches, two very good young quarterbacks. And you need a quarterback in this league, man. You need a quarterback in this league to be good. That's period. You need quarterbacks, bro. And I think they have, you know, maybe two of the youngest, you know, two of the premier young quarterbacks in the league right now, and CJ Stroud and Jordan Love. We will see how I can see the turnout, because you got to turn back next year and, you know, do the same thing, if not more. The expectations become greater every year if you're a great quarterback, no matter what. So, we're going to see how they look next year. We're going to see, you know, if they continue to remain hungry or are they satisfied with the little playoff success they had this year. I'm going to go... Man, it's kind of tough, man, because both of these quarterbacks are really good. I think CJ Stroud is a great, accurate quarterback, and he's a winner and a leader, and I see that from him. I think Jordan Love has flashes of Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre in him. He can make some crazy throws from some crazy angles. He can throw on the run, the left or the right. He can throw off his back foot. He can step into the throws. He can just make throws. His arm talent is really good. If I had to case my bet, who would be the better quarterback out of those two just next year, I'm going to go with Jordan Love. And why I would go with Jordan Love is because the AFC is tough. Damn near all of the great quarterbacks are in the AFC. That's period. All of the great quarterbacks are in the AFC. And not a lot of great, I mean, I ain't gonna say not a lot of great quarterbacks are in the NFC, but the NFC is looking for another head honcho over there. You know, obviously, you know, shit. I mean, the best teams in the NFC right now is, what would you say, the Cowboys and the 49ers or the Eagles. Who is the best quarterback out of there? I would say Jalen Hurts. But it just is what it is, man. We're gonna see how it goes. But I think Jordan Love has an easier chance of winning and going to the Super Bowl in the NFC than CJ Stroud has of going in the AFC. That's why I picked him as the best quarterback, or have the better quarterback year next season. Moving on from that, let's briefly talk about these two games that's going to happen today. Buccaneers and Lions, 3:00. I think that's going to be a good game. I have the Lions winning, but it's not going to be easy. I think Bucs are coming in as a dangerous team to the Lions because the Bucs can throw the ball down the field, and the Lions have a hard time guarding, you know, any type of receiver, let alone Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. So I think that's going to be a challenge that the Lions pose today. But I think the Lions should win. I think this is a game the Lions should win. Win fair and square. Should be a good game. I'm excited to see another game in Detroit for the Lions. And they got to go out there and win it, though. It's not going to be easy. Baker going to have something to say. Baker might have woke up today feeling dangerous, man. You who knows? So I'm excited to see how that matchup turns out. I think it's going to be great. Moving on to the next game, Bills and the Chiefs. This is tough. This is tough because I don't know who I want to pick in this game. I don't know who I want to pick in this game because we're going to see about... We're going to see who's going to... It's gonna be tough in Buffalo, man. I just don't know how I can pick against Mahomes. I gotta see you beat Mahomes. That's my whole thing with the whole Bills Chiefs game. I don't care where it's played at. You know, I don't care that this is, you know, Patrick Mahomes' first road playoff game of his career. I don't think that matters. I think his game traveled. I think he's one of the best quarterbacks ever. So I don't think he has to be in his own backyard to be great. I think he's gonna be, if not greater, in this game, you know, on the road, because he knows he has to be that much greater because he is one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. And that's what it is. Like, you make your name on the road. It's cool to win at home, but when you can go into somebody else's arena and shut them down versus in a big game that they need to win, and you can go in there and walk out, like how you, like, remember how Joe Burrow walked into, you know, Arrowhead a couple years ago and beat them, and then they advanced to the Super Bowl? That's a big win right there. Like, that's a legacy win right there. To go in there and stop Mahomes in the playoffs in his own backyard, that's one of the wins where you just like, wait a minute. Like, he went in there and took that win. That's the type of play you need right there. Like, Mahomes is going to need that type of play to go into, you know, Buffalo and win. I think he can go in there and win. I think he can go in there and win. So I'm going to pick the Chiefs to win this game. But if the Chiefs go into Buffalo and win, Buffalo, we're going to have a problem. I think that's going to be the worst upset. I think that might be worse than, it ain't going to be an upset, but I think it's going to be like, man, it's going to be some questions in Buffalo if they lose at home versus the Chiefs, especially this Chiefs team right here. We've been talking all year about this Chiefs team and how they is not as good as they've been. This is a down year for them. We've been talking so much about this Chiefs team, and we going to see, man. We going to see. So, in these games today, I have the Lions winning, and I have the Chiefs winning. That's just what it is. That's what I'm going with, and that's what it is. You feel what I'm saying? But shout-out to Lamar Jackson for winning his second MVP. Obviously, it's going to come down in a couple weeks. Just came out with an MVP performance, and he got a chance to do it again next week in his own backyard. You know the all-black unis coming out? I'm just saying, bro. I would love to see a Ravens-Lions Super Bowl. I would love it. I think the Lions got a good chance. If they win today, I think the Lions got a good chance. I think the Lions got a better chance of beating the 49ers than the Packers did. And the Packers, you know, they should have won. So, I'm excited to see this, you know, this Sunday and see how these games unfold. Because, hey, big-time players got to make big-time plays and big-time moments. And we're going to see today. So, if you tuned in to episode 78, appreciate you. Speak on the podcast. Lip out.